Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Back here on the Big 870 WWL Sports Talk, Mike Dottiglia along with Charlie Long, and on our talk and text line, Ryan Roberts, who works for A to Z Sports, covers the NFL draft, college football, also is a big Notre Dame guy. So, Ryan, thanks so much for joining us, and I'll ask you right off the bat, you got to see him play. Tell us your thoughts on Jeremiah Love, who I think would be a perfect fit for this Saints offense. And do you think he could make a date?
Yeah, no, I appreciate you guys for having me on first and foremost. For Love, it's really fun, actually, because like you said, I do cover Notre Dame a lot on the college football side. And I've been covering that kid since he was a junior in high school in the recruiting side of things. So seeing his maturation as a football player has been absolutely fantastic. And he's certainly in play in a couple different spots inside of the top 10. There's a few teams that could use a dynamic element. And the Saints are a really interesting one because one of, like, when people talk about, like, the comparisons, the player comps for a guy like a Jeremiah Love, Alvin Kamara is typically a guy that's talked about pretty regularly because of the ability that they have, short areas, explosiveness out of the backfield. But Jeremiah Love even brings more home run speed than even Kamara has that he brings to the table. So he's a tremendous football player, man. He's one of those guys that has increasingly gotten better and better at the little things over the last couple of years, improving his power profile, being a better pass blocker. He was always a really gifted, you know, track and field athlete, straight line speed, explosiveness. Like, that stuff's easy for him, but it's really kind of his attention to detail that has really helped him evolve into an all-around running back now.
Ryan, I'll ask you this, knowing a little bit about his track background, and you can almost see it in his gait, the way he runs.
Yeah.
That, okay, that guy's been on a track before. And you talked about his work as a pass protector, and that's so big, especially if you're playing quarterback. But, you know, his off-the-field stuff, because they're going to dig into all of this. Everything I've heard about him has always been on the positive side about Jeremiah Love. Is that the same thing that you've witnessed over the years having covered him?
Yeah, I mean, so I developed a really good relationship with his dad, Jason, and he is he's the funniest kid of all time because, like, he's kind of that comic book nerd of a person that – You wouldn't anticipate just by talking to him that he's like this big time athlete, but that's ultimately why he fit at Notre Dame. You know, like the Texas A&Ms of the world, the Oregons of the world, the teams that have big money behind them, they try throwing the kitchen sink at Jeremiah Love when he was a recruit and, you know, after every offseason, right? Like he's at Notre Dame. So, but it was just, the fit made sense. Like he is a studious young man. He learned to love school over the last few years, but he has some really unique interests. I mean, he did Jeremonstar, which is like his comic book series. He basically made his life into a comic book is like one of the things that he does off the field. So he's a little bit quirky. He's a little bit unique in a lot of ways. Like, again, he doesn't carry – he carries himself on the field as this very – you know, got big vibrato and he kind of puffs out his chest and he's got a little bit of swagger to him. But off the field, he's one of the nicest kids ever. He's a little bit shy, to be honest, and he doesn't really carry himself like this big time future top 10 NFL draft pick. But I think honestly, that's why he will fit in just pretty much every locker room, because as a rookie, I think this kid's just going to kind of put his head down and work. And then obviously he'll break out of his shell when he kind of earns his spot on the field. But yeah, great kid, a lot of very unique interests, and I couldn't speak any higher for him. It's when you know you have the complete package is when if someone asks you, like, is he a better person or a better football player? Well, it's very debatable for a guy like Jeremiah Love. He really is the complete package in that regard.
Quirky, he would fit right in here in Louisiana.
Yes, he would.
Believe me, we got a lot of them like that here, including myself. Yeah. Ryan, your thoughts on tonight's game, Ole Miss, Miami of Florida, strength on strength. Ole Miss's explosive offense going up against a bad-to-the-bone defense of Miami of Florida. But, man, when you got a quarterback like Chambliss, you ain't never out of it. Never. And that guy put on a performance on the Sugar Bowl, and I've seen, I hate to say it, but like 50 years of it or more. And that's on the Mount Rushmore for me, for what he did against that Georgia defense. So your thoughts on the game tonight, Ole Miss, Miami or Florida?
Yeah, I mean, I think Chambliss is like the ultimate like get out of jail free card to a degree, because like even when Ole Miss doesn't have the run game necessarily working with Kiwon Lacy, like they still have the ability to make big plays because of his run pass threat. So like his legs and his ability to be a little bit of an improviser, like that really does kind of level the playing field for even the best defenses, which obviously Miami has one of them, right? Like that defensive line is no joke. But I know that everyone's kind of hyper-focusing on that matchup specifically, right? Like, not many people are talking about, like, Miami's offense this week. Not many people are talking about Ole Miss's defense, because that is the matchup that everyone wants to see. They want to see the Ole Miss offense, even without Lane Kiffin, has been playing very good football against the Miami ferocious pass rush. And while we sometimes hyper-focus too much on it, I think we have to hyper-focus on that, because that matchup is going to determine what type of football game this is. And there are two unique types of football games that lend one side to the other. If Chambliss, Lacy, and Wallace and Stribling, like all these really talented pass game weapons, if they are able to have success early, that's how you make Miami uncomfortable. Like, they don't want to play a high fire game. They want to play to their pace. They want to keep low scoring games. Miami wants to beat people up. That's what they want to do. But on the other side, if Miami is able to neutralize that offensive attack a little bit and make it a dirty game and a, kind of a physical game, that's not the game that Ole Miss wants to play necessarily. So I think we'll have a really good gauge within like the first 10 minutes of this football game, first quarter of this football game. If Ole Miss comes out hot and maybe gets 7-10 on the first couple of drives and you're like, okay, they're moving with a little bit of pace here, I think they have a chance in the end. I unfortunately, for my fandom's sake, have to pick Miami in this game just because of that, the defense. I think the defense, run game, both those things travel very well, especially in this type of setting. So I'll take Miami reluctantly, but I do think it's going to end up being a very good football game.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Reuben Bain Jr. Looks to be, he'll be a top 10 pick in this draft. He potentially could be a top 5 pick. And Coach Ogeron, Coach O, I talked to him about it because he had lived in South Florida for quite some time. Both his sons are coaching at Miami of Florida. And he told me initially, Mike, I thought that he would be better off inside as a defensive tackle. But he said, man, the way he can rush your quarterback, I got him out playing end in the NFL. And he said the one thing about him is the fact that because of his size, you've got some versatility that you can kick him inside at tackle at times. But he said, man, he is pedal to the metal and a guy that's relentless out on the football field. Your thoughts on Reuben Bain Jr.?
Well, I like that you mentioned that little tidbit on Coach O, because that conversation has been had in the NFL lots over this offseason, even into this season, of positional fits on the next level, because there are some teams that do view Reuben Bain potentially being a more disruptive and better NFL player on the inside because of the lack of arm length, the lack of reach. But then more than anything, that kid gets off and he plays really low to the ground, and he is a hard person to stop on his first couple steps. Because one thing that I was kind of low back to is Ed Orgeron actually had a quote years ago, and I'm not going to say it word for word, but it was basically, if a defensive lineman doesn't have a great first step, doesn't have a great get off, he can't play. And Reuben Bain has that. Now, Reuben Bain, I don't think has the greatest like closing speed range of all time of pursuits, but that kid, when he gets off the football, is fast and he's super violent. So I agree with you. Like, you can use him in multiple lines, which I think, even though he doesn't have great length, he's a guy that I think that some three-man front teams will still like because of the physicality that he plays with the pad level that he plays with, the relentless motor that he plays with. So I do think that it's going to be kind of on a team-to-team perspective of whether they see him as a true edge player, whether they see him as a true inside player, whether they see him as a pure hybrid. Like, it's really going to depend on personal preference, But the kid's having a great season. He is relentless, and he is a very difficult person to stop one-on-one.
Ryan, it's something that we've talked a little bit about early on in the process, that it feels like there's going to be three edge rusher prospects taken in the top 10 with, obviously, you mentioned Reuben Bain, Arvell Reese, who just recently declared for the draft. Mike and I were talking about him in the last segment. And man, you watch, Mike and I were talking about this off air as well. You watch Arvell Reese in pursuit speed. He just flashes from sideline to sideline. In like the blink of an eye, he'll catch up to a ball carrier. It's unbelievable. But I want to ask you about David Bailey. 14 and a half sacks this past season with Texas Tech. I feel like he would be a really good fit in New Orleans with Brandon Staley's defense, a 3-4 outside linebacker. I mean, with David Bailey specifically, I've seen some people say maybe he'll slide out of the top 10, but it just feels like the production that he had at Texas Tech, and even though in the college football playoff game against Oregon, the offense wasn't doing anything, David Bailey was still all over the field against an elite opponent. Just want to get your thoughts on Bailey. I feel like he's a lock for the top 10.
Yeah, I mean, even though Texas Tech got shut out and they ended up losing that football game, you know, pretty decisively because of their offensive performance, David Bailey, you could still argue, was maybe the best player on the field for either team still. I mean, he was fantastic. And about in the middle of the season, Charlie, I had a scout actually text me and say, I basically said, like, you know, where do you think the range is on Bailey right now? Because coming into the season, he was talked about in the day two range from transferring over from Stanford, obviously, to Texas Tech, because he was just a kind of a designated pass rusher at Stanford. Like, you didn't know what he could do on rundowns and all that type of stuff. And he told me, he was like, he's going in the top 15, like, spot out, top 15 pick. And I'm like, okay, all right. Well, and at that point, I wanted to see a little bit more because that was not even halfway through the season. And you wanted to see him against some steeper level of competition because, you know, the Big 12 has some good football teams, but the Big 12 also does not have some good football teams. So, you know, him beating up against Kansas, while impressive, I wanted to see him against future NFL offensive linemen. And that Oregon game, for instance, is a big indicator of that'll translate, right? Like, you made Isaiah World and Alex Harkey look like they can't play football, and they can play football. They just looked really bad against a really good future NFL pass rusher. Now, that being said, that kid's going to have probably somewhere around 34-inch arms. They only have estimated measurements on that. So he's going to check out the length, explosiveness. That kid's probably going to jump like 39-plus inches in the vert. Like, he's a freaky athlete. He's still, though, a very average to semi-below-average run defender. So there's going to be some things, I think, limitations just in the run game with lack of power. But that first step, explosiveness, closing speed, sells in the NFL. So I think he's going to go in the top 15 for sure. I think if he has a good draft process, he could definitely lock himself into the top 10 because pass rush sells in the NFL right now. It's just how it is. And that kid rushes the passer as good as anybody in this class.
He's a sick'em player.
Yep.
He's going to be a top 10 pick. Sick'em. You know what to do. Tomorrow night, Oregon, Indiana. It's the rematch. I look at Indiana, and I'll be honest with you, Ryan. They don't have the most talented team out there, but my God, they are so well coached. They're fundamentally sound. You got a star quarterback. You got some really good receivers. You can run the football. You get after them on defense. You're aggressive. And you don't lose gap integrity. Every time somebody runs the ball at them, they got two guys around them. And that being so well coached, your thoughts, though, it's difficult to beat a team twice. I think Indiana's got a shot here against the Ducks.
It's super cliche, but I really think it's going to come down to which quarterback has the better game. I mean, it was kind of like that the first time around. You know, we saw Dante have a couple more mistakes the first time around than Fernando Mendoza, and Fernando Mendoza ended the game on the high note because people see like 30-20, and they're like, you know, Indiana won by two scores, and you're like, but did you watch the game? Like, that was a one-score game going into the late into the fourth quarter, and then they put it away. Like, that was a really competitive football game. So I think it's really going to come down to that, man. Indiana is the most fascinating team, to your point, because while there might not be an elite group necessarily on either side of the ball, when you really kind of boil it down as far as like future, I mean, outside of Fernando Mendoza, we're talking about, you know, a couple day two players on this team, and we're talking about a good amount of day three players. They are incredibly well coached, though, and they don't hurt themselves. Like, that's the biggest thing. Like, they're not the worst enemy ever. So that team scares you. But if they do hurt themselves, just one turnover, one misstep, one bad decision, whatever it is, they can be had against a team like Oregon because Oregon does have a whole lot of talent. I'm picking the Ducks, but I don't feel great about it. Like, I do think that it is hard to beat a team twice. I agree with you 100%. I think that Dante has played better football, although he didn't play great against Texas Tech. Like, he's played better football the second half of the year. He's showed improvement. It's just going to come down to which quarterback is more efficient, doesn't hurt themselves, and makes the big play when it matters most. I'll take the Ducks in the rematch, but I do think that this is a game that could go either way.
One thing that Indiana does elite, they elitely coached.
Oh, yeah.
Man, that team is about as well prepared as any college football team that's walking this green grass, so to speak, today. That's what Cignetti has done at Indiana. Ryan, thanks so much for joining us, but always appreciated. Great insights.
Absolutely, guys. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Ryan.
Ryan Roberts does a great job, A to Z Sports, covering college football. Covered Notre Dame for a long period of time. That's why I wanted him on to talk about, so much about Jeremiah Love, who I think certainly a guy in play here for the New Orleans Saints.